Foundation to sustain NPR's coverage of Latin American cultural programming on Alt Latino.
88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. This is Morning Edition. And Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of the business and financial news. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Well, last week was not too eventful in the business world. We were sort of preoccupied with international events and such. Mm-hmm. Sort of an up and down week, I guess you would say. Maybe the most interesting thing in the world of business and finance was the first press conference by the new chairman of the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen. Did we get any insights into her thinking about what the future holds?
Yeah, I think we did. I think you're right. Your assessment of last week was it was kind of a so-so week. It was better than the prior week, which had seen some significant drops in the stock market. But I got to be honest with you, Wayne. I think Thursday and Friday, a lot of Wall Street traders and analysts were watching their NCAA brackets and watching the television a lot. And So there wasn't as much going on at the end of the week. But you're right. Janet Yellen had her first major news conference as Federal Reserve chair last week. And she kind of spooked the bond market as she hinted that the Federal Reserve may raise short-term interest rates in 2015 and 16 more than had been previously expected. That caused many investors to sell off their U.S. government bond holdings pretty quickly, pushing yields up. She also said that the Fed would not base their decisions so explicitly on the unemployment rate. You may remember that Ben Bernanke, when he was Fed chief, said they wouldn't raise interest rates until unemployment got to 6.5%. Well, we've been pretty close here lately, and Yellen, I think, felt kind of painted in a corner. But basically, Janet Yellen said that the Fed and her board of governors will continue to monitor labor market conditions, and especially inflation in particular, as they make their decisions. The key takeaway here for investors, I think, is that the Fed is more likely to be raising interest rates sooner than people had expected, which may mean, you know, favoring shorter-term bonds, also being very selective about the credits of other types of bonds out there, staying very high quality right now. Wayne, the other thing I noted last week of interest is that, believe it or not, this will make you feel old, but Twitter turned 8 last week, and Twitter was making a lot of people available to see their very first tweet. It was kind of an interesting thing.
Well, the banking stress tests have turned out to be pretty good for the banks, right?
Yeah, this was good news out of the banking sector last week. There was a new round of stress tests done on the 30 largest banks in the U.S. as per required for the new Dodd-Frank legislation. The goal was to see how the U.S. banking system could handle another crisis like we saw in 2008. Well, of the 30 banks surveyed, 29 of them passed with what we'll call flying colors. Only Zions Bancorp out of Utah did not meet the minimum requirements. Basically, the regulators wanted to see how banks would fare with certain amounts of loan losses, drops in stock price, shock and high unemployment, and problems with their other partner banks. And this is really good news and backs up last year's similarly solid report. Overall, for investors, this means it is more likely that the Federal Reserve will approve banks' attempts to raise their dividends and possibly spend more money to buy other banks and gain market share. Now, the key takeaway here is that while many investors fear stock market valuations at these high levels, the health of the U.S. banking system is getting better and stronger, and will likely fare better when interest rates rise over the next 1 to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of stories relating to shipping I want to ask you about.
Sure.
FedEx issued its earnings report, and it's down.
Yeah.
And they sort of blamed it on the bad weather this winter.
They did.
Is that a legitimate excuse?
Well, that is interesting. I was looking inside the numbers of FedEx, as you know, one of the largest shipping and transportation companies in the world. And they said their earnings last quarter were not as good as expected due to the harsh winter weather. FedEx said delays and generally difficult travel conditions caused them to miss their numbers by over $100 million. And even worse, it caused them to lower their profit estimates for the rest of the year. So no surprise, right? We all know it's been a tough winter. The issue here is that I think you should expect the winter weather to be blamed, rightly or wrongly, for companies' ills over the next couple of months. Some of this, no doubt, is warranted. But, Wayne, it does remind me of several historical events of the past 10 years or so, such as Y2K, Asian bird flu, et cetera, as a convenient scapegoat for poor execution over the last few months. Now, companies do this frequently to sort of lower the bar of expectations so they can more easily exceed them the next time. But, you know, getting back to FedEx, FedEx and rival UPS delivered record amounts of packages during the Christmas season, but also ran into, you know, several snafus that saw their on-time delivery percentage drop several points. You know, like airlines, package delivery companies are affected very much by high gas prices and their ability to pass them on to consumers. So, bottom line, stay tuned for further winter weather warning issues by other companies in the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm. We have just about a minute to go. Mm-hmm. Online shopping giant Amazon is going to raise the price for getting free shipping. In other words, we're going to have to pay more to get something free. Do I understand that right?
I like this. Yeah, Amazon made news. They raised the price of their popular Amazon Prime service to $99 a year. It was $20. The Prime service gives you basically free shipping, two-day shipping on all orders. 20 million people subscribe to this. One analyst quipped that, like healthcare, the cost of free is going up. There's three key takeaways here, Wayne, I think. It shows us that we, as a consumer-based culture, are willing to pay more and more for speed to have our goods delivered quickly. Amazon expects fewer than 10% of its customers to drop the service. And look at Amazon's major distribution facility in Dinwiddie here in Virginia. Mm-hmm. They can offer same-day delivery even here to Richmond. Number two, this tells us that Amazon believes it has enough clout to pass on cost. Not all companies, not all industries are able to pass on inflationary cost to customers. And number three, this is really a land grab by Amazon, no doubt, trying to establish greater market share versus brick and mortar and other retailers on the web.
All right. Thanks to Brian Ford, who joins us each Monday morning to analyze the business and financial news. Brian's report is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal or tax advice.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Green.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. There is 1 week left to get health insurance.